Since we were toddlers, we knew the importance of the word mine. Conveys the reality that this is something special to me. It belongs to me. It brings me happiness. We use it so many times, especially to our siblings, to make sure that they get their mitts off our stuff. It may spur us on to do good. For example, if we have property, then we try to take care of it. If we have a business, then we do all we can to make sure that it flourishes. If we have a family, we'll do all that we can to protect them. But sometimes this idea that it's mine fosters selfishness. My mother would share with me a time in which, when I was very young, a birthday I had, and she had presented me with this great white and blue birthday cake. And she said, "This is yours." And I said, "Mine? This is yours." So she remembers that throughout the course of the day, as guests were coming to wish me happy birthday, I would let them know that this was mine. I would have my cake and eat it too. Jesus encourages us to live radically different. "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever who wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life?" You know, there are many who see Jesus and are immediate fans. They love his message of mercy. They like his approach to the sick and the poor. They rejoice at the fact that he rose from the dead. But discipleship means going deeper. It's not enough for us to give the adulation, praise, and thanksgiving that is due to him, but to realize that this call to discipleship means so much more. It means a denial of our wills, all for the purpose to make room for the will of the Father. In Matthew 8:20, someone had told Jesus, "I'll follow you." Jesus' immediate reply to that was, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." In a sense, he was telling this man who was interested in becoming his disciple, "My home is not here." Can you say the same for yourself? It's denial of our wants. It's denial of our hopes. It's the denial of the expectation that we place on what this life should be for me. And that's asking a lot. It's kind of hard to think each of us have these desires, albeit good, noble, praiseworthy, but yet they are all called to be subservient, all to be at whatever it is that the Father is asking of us. How can I be detached? How is this supposed to be? And so some wonder, there's got to be room for both, right? These things in which I intend, they're not evil. How is it that I can't hold on to these desires and wants and also do the will of God? But can a heart that is divided be fully given? If we seek to chase after so many things, if we seek to please so many people, then we're going to end up pleasing no one at all. Our priorities will be garbled, jumbled. We're left wondering, what is it do I value? And maybe we struggle with being firm in the truth. Maybe we find ourselves giving in to whatever our peers are doing because we long for friendship. We don't want to be alone. And so we jettison the truth because of that. Or maybe we struggle with whenever something comes that irritates us. Is that an occasion for us to pray to the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit in there, and ask for guidance and help, direction? Okay, what is this, and how am I called to respond? Or do we simply give in to our knee-jerk reaction? What are the choice between receiving rest or spending time with the grandkids or kids in whom we find ourselves ignoring? Or perhaps, as it comes down to it, the idea with self-preservation versus martyrdom. Where would we stack up to those things? Times that we are tested are opportunities of receiving tremendous blessings, tremendous graces. These times in which that come before us will not come with a warning. They won't come to us giving a heads up. Normally they will come when we least expect them. Maybe we're tired. Maybe we're exhausted. It's the end of the day. And in that moment, in that very moment, God needs us to say yes to His grace. We don't know the kind of impact that we will have in that moment. And so the times in which, as things are going relatively well, when we make those sacrifices, when we make those denials, we build that strength within us so that when those things come in which we're caught off guard, we have more of that resolve built within us. Our will is stronger to take that on. And therefore, we see how it is that we can die to ourselves and allow the grace of God to flow through within us. St. Paul says, "Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect." What parts of this age have we given our heart to? Or how has it sneakily entered into our lives without us knowing it? Now we find ourselves devoting so much attention to it, apart from God. Where do we place our hopes, our expectations? Even though they might be good, is it truly in God? Or is it in something else? With all the things that we claim as mine, can we say that about Jesus? As I wanted to let everyone know that this cake was all mine, by our lives are we demonstrating to others that Jesus is all mine, that He is my everything. He wants to work through us, but only if we deny our own wants and desires so as to take up our cross and follow Him.